Okay, if you'd like to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, and what I suggest you do is put a marker again in Proverbs, because we'll be coming back here all the way through today. In fact, today is going to be a Bible study, really, of the first few chapters of Proverbs. And we have gone through different aspects so far in the last few sermons. But it talks about the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. And it was Solomon who compiled these proverbs together. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. It allows us to make correct judgments, wise judgments. Allows, as I said before, when you come to a fork in the road and you need to know which one of these forks you actually take, which direction do you go. And as it says here, a wise man will hear, it says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And certainly it's a very valuable book for young people. Those of us that are a little bit older have seen a certain amount of life and have seen a certain amount of people getting their fingers burnt, and we've learned certain lessons ourselves in getting our fingers burnt. But the young haven't. They're basically starting out in life, and therefore they need to know, they need direction. And this book really does give direction. It gives direction to people who are in the world as well. I mean, anybody in the world that actually reads this book, although they're not going to grasp the spiritual implications of it, they can grasp the physical implications and the physical wisdom that is there. But to give subtlety to the simple, and a young man knowledge and discretion, and a wise man, somebody who has learned a certain amount of wisdom in this life, and a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So it's going to be, anyway, Solomon was the wisest one that ever lived, and he compiled these words together, and obviously it's going to be adding to anybody else's wisdom. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So they're going to listen to what in fact it has to say. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise ones and their dark sayings. And these wise ones were people that went before Solomon, and Solomon compiled these words. Now, most of them, I would have thought, would have actually had a knowledge of God. And where they actually go back to, Joseph certainly seems to be one source of the group of, well, certainly one group that they were discovered over in Egypt, which was almost word for word. And then he goes into the first proverb of the entire book, which I spent the entire sermon on last time, which is, the fear of the eternal is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And really the contrast between foolishness and also wisdom is given there. And also it shows how the beginning of both knowledge and also understanding and also wisdom as well, the beginning of the whole sequence of parts, starts with the fear of the eternal. And a certain fear of God, even for people that are in this world, you know, there is a certain amount that everybody, even within the world, is responsible for, and has been brought out in Romans 1. You know, they know better. They have a responsibility to understand that there is a God, and the fear of that God, and understanding that we are beneath that God. You know, that God is obviously has a huge amount of understanding, just looking at the natural world. And therefore, that is the beginning of knowledge, it's the beginning of understanding, it's the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction, and they go in a different direction. Now, what I need to do today is I want to talk about, really, in these first few chapters, in seeking wisdom. Because these first few chapters are very ancient words, as we learned when we went through the structure of Proverbs. But they're very ancient words, and they are to do their, well, notice in verse 8 it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother. And down in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, consent you not. And verse 15, my son, walk not in the way with them, refrain your foot from evil, and so on. And repeatedly, over and over again, he's addressing us, and it is, although, yes, you can say whoever wrote the words was addressing perhaps even to his son. He might be a literal son at one time. But God has chosen to have these words placed in here so that he can address us as his potential sons. And he gives us the wisdom, and he gives us the knowledge and the understanding that come out of this book. And it's to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So the young need to take notice of what we're going to be reading today, particularly, certainly in these first few chapters. Now, after we get out of these first few chapters, the Proverbs themselves start coming into flow, and it seems to be broken up. And it's better to actually study the book of Proverbs by taking a subject and going through and analysing it subject by subject. But these first few chapters they really address the information to us as children. And we're the children of God, and there are some vital lessons to us within the church and vital lessons to our young people as well. So if we go and start off the entire section in verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." And yet, you know, you look at today's world, and today's world, they do anything but. They tear down the family structure, they tear down the authority within the home, they tear down the wisdom within the home, and they're passing on the information from one generation to the next. And the entire family is under attack. It says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your neck, and chains about grace unto your head, and chains about your neck." It's a poetic way of saying that, you know, people are going to notice. They will notice if you listen to the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, that's true, literally, physically, it's true. I always remember my music mistress one time. I took music lessons from about the age of 7 on. I'm not sure quite what age I was, but my music mistress had a heart condition, and she only had my brother and myself eventually as pupils. But she had a degree in music, she had a degree in psychology, in child psychology, and she was anyway, because she had the heart condition, she used to ask me to go out and get the coal for the fire, because it was cold up in the northeast, which is always cold in the northeast, and so I go out and get the coal and put the coal on the fire and walk back with the shovel, and she has looked at me one time, she said, "Bye, you've been well trained." And I thought, what on earth am I doing? Well, basically, I had been well trained, because normally a child that will put coal onto a fire will chuck the coal on the fire, let the shovel drop, and walk out with it. All the dust that is on the shovel will then go leave a trail all across the carpet. That's the natural way of doing it. But I've been trained, and I've been trained by my parents to make sure that if you put the coal on the fire, you do not let the shovel hang down as you walk out of the room, because otherwise you're going to have coal dust everywhere. And that was just part of the training. But it says here, "For they shall be an ornament of grace to your head and chains around your neck." And it is the fact that people can see these things, these instructions, having effect in our life. And that's just one of the instances. But this is the wisdom. If we hear, listen to the instruction of our father and forsake not the law of our mother. But how much more of our father who is God and our mother who is the church? How much more is that the case? So, and this is what we'll find throughout this section, is that it's talking physically, certainly, but it's also talking spiritually as well. He says, "My son, if sinners entice you, consent not. If they say, 'Come with us and let us wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up as live as the grave, and the whole as those that go down to the pit, we shall find all the precious substance, we'll fill our houses with spoil.'" And you know, vagabonds and bandits and so on, they are still a problem. They're still, I mean, look at the Somali pirates that we've got today. It's the same kind of environment. And yet, you know, they might... They make millions out of the hijacking of these ships, about the piracy on these ships. And those of you actually listening to my voice in Kenya, say, may well come across Somali pirates, because I know that the people getting these words in Isiolo, which is down, you know, within 200 miles of the border of Somalia, and they would can quite easily see the wealth that comes out of this plundering of the and piracy, and they can be tempted to go ahead and throw their lot in with these people. But he says, if they say, come with us, let us wait privately for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive in the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with the spoil. Do not, you know, cast in your lot among us, let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. And really, if we just, again, keep your marker in there, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, just remind ourselves of something. Because the reason for not throwing your lot in with them is what it says here. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 32, if after the manner of the men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink and tomorrow we die? But do not be deceived. In other words, eat and drink, tomorrow we die, just get it all out of this life. But do not be deceived. Evil communications, or evil company, in other words, communications with people, corrupt good manners, good habits. It will actually affect you, it'll get to you, it'll make you, your particular lifestyle corrupted as well. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. So within the church even, we throw in our lot at our own peril with people that are going in a false direction. And this is a problem. But it says here, and here is the wisdom. It says, my son, and this is God speaking to every one of us, young child and adult alike, do not walk in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their paths. Really, you can look at certain aspects of that. You can look at get-rich-quick schemes, for instance. You go to... if you live life a little while, you can see people that have these get-rich-quick schemes that don't amount to anything. They just simply die the death. Well, from here, this is telling us, look... avoid these get-rich-quick schemes. It talks about, put in your notes, Proverbs 14:23, about in all labour there is profit, but talking with the lips leads to penury. It leads to you're scratching for a living. But in all labour, if you work, you'll eventually make a profit. You'll make some money out of it. And in all labour there's profit. And if you... you know, there's profit even in labour itself. In other words, there's profit in the actual the fact that you're working. Even if you're not making any money, physical money, even if you're having to pay for the apprenticeship, there's still profit in it. There's still profit in there. And so these get-rich-quick schemes are certainly part of the problem that's being addressed in this section. My son, do not walk in your way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. In verse 16, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood, but surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. It's like having, if you're trying to catch a bird, or catch any animal. I always remember waiting for a fox one time, and this fox has been made decimated by our chickens, and we parked the Land Rover near the chicken house, and we waited there with shotguns. And we could hear the fox. He was in the wood, but would he come out? No chance. He knew that he saw the Land Rover there. He didn't. Whether he could smell us or not, I don't know. I think we made sure that the wind was in the right direction. But you lay the net in the sight of any bird. Birds not going to take any net. He's not going to go into the net for you. You've got to camouflage the net. That's what they're doing. They're camouflaging their actions. They're camouflaging the end result of their actions. It doesn't have to go as far as the pirates of Somalia. It can be just a get-rich-quick scheme. It can do the same thing. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away the life of the owners thereof. So you avoid anything that doesn't give a win-win situation. In other words, if you're going into business with somebody, you're trying to give. You have a giving out outlook, a giving approach to this. And what you're looking for. So here are people that are not, the ends justify the means, that's what they're saying, but that's not true. the end is, in fact, self-evident to somebody who is of fearing God. The end should be self-evident. We can see, like a bird that sees a net that's already laid on the ground. And, you know, the bird's not going to go on there. It's going to say there's something unusual there, we're not going to go anywhere near it. And that's the way we need to be. We need to say that, no, this has a kind of smattering of a get-rich-quick scheme, something without, you know, getting something without working for it, and I'm going to just go by, and I'll pass on this one, because it's a net, and that's the essence of it. That's the essence of what, in fact, it's telling you here. And if you are looking for a business opportunity, you look for a win-win deal. You look for where you're trying to give something, giving a service. And it normally takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy. Now, here you see an individual enticing you. It says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." And yet then it's contrasted with wisdom. So here you find the people that are greedy of gain. And yet here is wisdom. Wisdom cries without. She utters a voice in the streets. If we're just listening, if we are listening, if we have our eyes open, if we watch how other people, the actions of other people, and certainly our young people, you know, look at your friends, watch your friends, watch what happens to your friends. If they go down a get-rich-quick scheme and you've steered clear because of these verses, then just wait, just watch. It might take a year, it might take 10 years, it might take 20 years, but they will become undone. It almost certainly won't take 20 years. It'll take relatively short space of time, just a few years down the line, and you'll see that it doesn't work out. Wisdom cries without. She utters a voice in the street. She cries in the chief places of concourse, at the opening of the gates of the city. She utters a word, saying, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn at my reproof. Look, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded." And this is true, really, of life. It's true of something that we find within. We turn over again, keep your marker there. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Here in John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It says here that I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. It says, "For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Whereas we need to accept the light. We need to allow God to show us the wisdom, illuminate our path, and allow us to see the right way of walking. "But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And we go to God for the help that's necessary to make sure that we are able to listen to these words, as it says. Everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But it says here, back in Proverbs chapter 1, it says, "Because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regards, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes." Because it will come. Guaranteed it'll come. "When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but I shall not find me." What's it talking? You're not talking about God, it's talking about wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from God. It's wisdom that's crying and says, wisdom cries without, she utters a voice in the street, verse 20. "And then they will call upon me." Then they want the wisdom. Then they want to be able to have it right when it all comes apart in their hands. But they shall not find me. "For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Eternal." If we choose a different way from the fear of God, we choose a direction which is self-centered, we will have problems. It'll give us problems down the line. And even though in the initial trial that we happen to go through in choosing the right way, it will work out in the longer term. And you young people that are listening to my words, understand these things. Understand these things. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. The wisdom was saying, crying in the street, saying, don't go down that work road. But they despised it. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And what's the fruit of their own way? Well, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's basically what happens. Now, the gift of God is eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, yes, through repentance. But the wages of sin is death. And if you're going down a route that is going away in a way contrary to the wisdom of God, contrary to the fear of God, it'll end in disaster, it'll end in death, it'll end in going down that route. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the complacency, probably better word, the complacency of fools shall destroy them. They're going down, complacent, they're going to go down that route regardless. But whoever listens to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. If we listen, and this is what I say, it is a case, and this is the contrast that we find here. And it's coming from God, and he's addressing us as his children, saying, my son, do not walk in their way with them. Refrain your foot from their path. Into chapter 2 now. It says, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. You see, it takes work. It takes effort. It takes thought. It takes thinking. To actually achieve wisdom. It's not just a case of going to God. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God and ask him in faith and nothing wavering. And yes, that is true. But it also takes a certain degree of effort. It takes actually walking. Once you ask for wisdom, if you then despise, do what it says in the preceding verses and despise it, that wisdom is not going to come because it comes ultimately from God's very spirit and mind. But if you work on it, you apply it, you try and put it into practice in our lives. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, that is, you receive my words, you hide it with you, you keep hold of it, so that you incline your ears to wisdom, so you're listening to what God says, listening to wisdom, and you're applying your heart to understanding. You're actually working at it, trying to make it part of us. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and searches for her as hid treasure. Notice what it says. It's seeking for it. It's working at it. It's working to be wise. Then shall you understand the fear of the eternal and find the knowledge of God. So it is a case of holding on to the knowledge of God. For the Eternal gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Man shall not, turn over with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1, it says, all the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land. This is verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Which the Eternal swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Eternal your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, and to test you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep the commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you didn't know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Eternal, by that shall a man live. Now he's saying that to carnal individuals, to carnal human beings in Israel. But he's saying here, for the Eternal, in verse 6 of chapter 2 of Proverbs now, for the Eternal gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It's coming from the mouth of the Eternal, and that, man doesn't live by bread alone. Doesn't live by, we use bread for money. And doesn't live by money alone. It's not cash alone by which a man lives, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Eternal. That's what we live by. And this is what the book of Proverbs is telling us. These are just the initial Proverbs, and they're talking to us as children. They're talking to us as God is talking to us as children. For the Eternal gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler for them that walk uprightly. Now, a buckler was a small shield, quite a small shield, and it was to use in hand-to-hand combat. It's actually to parry the sword. It's not no use against something like an arrow. You have something like a, what do they used to call it? Tortoise, didn't they? The Roman soldiers. You know, the huge shield the Roman soldiers used to have. When the arrows came in, they used to go into the tortoise. They used to put them round the entire whatever they call them, not platoon, but group of soldiers. And they'd protect them from arrows. Now, that's not a buckler. A buckler is a hand-to-hand combat. It's a small shield that is worn on one hand. It parries the actual the sword of the opponent. But he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to those that walk uprightly. In other words, as you come to a situation, it parries the problems. It gets rid of the problems. And as you're actually in the thick of it, that's the wisdom that's needed. You need it. He keeps the path of judgment and preserves the, notice it's judgments, is when you're having to judge something, judge a situation. Do I go this way or do I go that way? And it's judging the situation that is crucial. And it's the Eternal gives out of his mouth this knowledge and understanding. And he keeps the path of the judgments and he preserves the way of his saints. Now, when you're coming into verse 9, notice it actually is a continuation of verse 4. It says, "For if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasure, then shall you understand the fear of the Eternal." Okay, verse 5. But it also says, "If you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good thing." Verse 9. So it actually is feeding in from what it says in verse 4. It feeds into the two. I mean, verse 5 to 8 is somewhat of an inset, but it's not exactly an inset. It's giving the same point, feeding back to verse 4, where it says, "If you seek for her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure," if you're working at being wise, if you're doing what is necessary, if we do what is necessary to be wise, if we go through life thinking about what we're doing, not just drifting our way through life. And this is what we do. So often we can drift through life. And certainly young people can just, drift through each day without planning, without thought, and not only get nowhere, but stumble their way into all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties. And yet it's saying here, it says, look, you seek for her as silver, you search for her as hid treasure, then you'll go ahead and you understand the fear of the Eternal and his things that come out of his mouth, yes, but also, then you shall understand righteousness and judgment, the right kind of judgment, making these decisions. And equity, yes, every good path, being able to make the judgment to get the right path, if you've gone ahead and done the seeking. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, then discretion will preserve you, understanding shall keep you. To deliver you from the way of evil man, from the man which speaks froward or perverse things. It's speaking these perverse things. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And in verse 43. It says, For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, so an evil man that speaks froward things, what's coming out of his mouth is perverse. And where's it coming from? Well, it's not coming out of his mouth, it's coming out of his heart, it's coming out of the core of his thinking. What is going on inside his head? That's what he's talking about. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil, for by the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And that's what he's saying here. He says, deliver you from the evil man, from the man that speaks perverse things. Why? Because his heart, the direction of his life, his wisdom as such, is perverse. It's not the fear of the eternal. It's not going in that direction. He says in Luke 6, he says, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man who builds a house, digs down, lays his foundation on a rock. When the flood rises and the stream beat vehemently on his house, he couldn't shake it, for it's founded on a rock." Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about his sayings, his words. Why? Because they come from a heart that is led by the Spirit of God. It's coming from Christ's words. "But he that hears and does them not is like a man that without a foundation built a house on the earth, against which the stream beat it vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." In other words, the words of the wise ones, the words of Christ in this particular case, it's coming from the abundance of the heart. And back here in Proverbs 2, it says, "When wisdom enters in your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, when you really appreciate it, when you worked at it, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks perverse things." Because you recognize where the perverseness of it. You recognize the heart that is coming from. "Who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Whose ways are crooked and they are perverse in their paths. To deliver you from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flatters with a word." And the word strange means foreign. Now, when you think about the foreign women, you know, as non-Israelite, because when you think about the foreign women, you know, women of Babylon, women of Moab, they also worship different gods. They worship, you know, Jezebel, the Zidonians. Jezebel was worshipping different gods and had the kind of view of harlotry, a way of harlotry. So not only does it get us out of the sights of the froward or the perverse individuals who are, you know, our own sex in that sense, but also deliver you from a strange woman, even from the stranger which flatters with the words. Now this can apply in a dual way. It can apply in the sexual area, again to the young man, particularly to the young man, but also it applies to the spiritual area as well. The people that have alien doctrines, as it says, stranger means alien, means non-Israelite, foreign. Oh, and it implies, therefore, pagan. "That flatters with her words, which forsakes the guide of a youth and forgets the covenant of her God." It's a harlot, it's a false religion as well. "For her house inclines to death." Again, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. "And her paths go down to the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." Now we could see that physically, or we can see that spiritually also. You go down that route, and you know, you'll get away from an eternal life, but also a physical life as well. "That you may walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Again, these are the words of wisdom. It gives us the direction that we need to go in. And it's talking to us as young people, particularly in the physical area, and the carnal individuals in a physical area. But there's a spiritual undertone as well. And it's talking to us within the church and warning us against ideas that are perverse, ideas that are going in the wrong direction, and certainly religious ideas going in the wrong direction. In chapter 3, again, he starts off, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Now, it's interesting that these kind of areas of wisdom, those of us that are parents, that are young children, we should use the opportunity to allow, say, when you're watching television, you can actually illustrate what the problems are. You know, there's plenty of material on television that, you know, you can watch with your children, where you can use the examples there to illustrate what not to do, what to do, and what the problems are. And you, even if they try and give a false shine on the and things, which they do these days, they try and give a false view of life. Again, we should be teaching, we should be pointing these things out, explaining it to the children. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And this is it. We need to talk to our children, you know, my son, my daughter, you know, forget not the law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And again, spiritually, it's the commandments being written in the heart, which is the new covenant, which is the new agreement. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them about your neck, write them upon the tables of your heart. Let's remind ourselves of that. Jeremiah 31. Again, it's a very up-to-date book, the book of Proverbs, when you understand the one who actually wrote it wasn't Solomon. Solomon certainly compiled it, but not only did he not write the Proverbs themselves physically, many of them, he wrote several of them, but he didn't write many of them. But also the one that really gave it was Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, who had Solomon and inspired Solomon to include certain proverbs within the book. But it says again, let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them upon your neck, write them upon the tables of your heart. And if you notice in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, it says, behold, the days come, says the Eternal, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of their hand to bring them out of their land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Eternal. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Now notice it's the house of Israel, not just the house of Judah. It's both the house of Israel and the house of Judah in verse 31. After those days, says the Eternal, I will put my law into their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And what's he saying? My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. That's what he's aiming for. That's what God is aiming for. Coming right after a section delivering you from the foreign woman, from the pagan religious ideas and concepts. And the contrast is constantly being made between the two different ways of life, one which is wise and one which is foolish. And it says here in Jeremiah 31, but this shall be the covenant I'll make with them. I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And they'll teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Eternal. For they shall all know me. Why? Because the law is in the heart. It is a new covenant, a new relationship. But more than that, it's the actual understanding, the principle behind the law, behind the Torah, behind the way. It's a direction of life. Know the Eternal, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, says the Eternal. And I'll forgive their iniquities and remember their sin no more. Now, so you don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them upon your neck. This is back in Proverbs 3, verse 3. Write them upon the table of your heart. In other words, we're becoming part of this new covenant relationship. So shall you find favor and a good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, where do you heard that one before? Well, let's turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And remember, we're talking about young people in particular. And just be aware of what actually is said here about Christ in Luke chapter 2. And he said, how is it that you sought me? What didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? Verse 49. Verse 50. And they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in the favor with God and man. Why did he do that? Well, it says If you let not mercy and truth forsake you, and bind them upon your neck, write them upon the tables of your heart, understand the principle behind God's law, and so shall you find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This is what Christ was doing. It's an inevitable repercussion of doing so. And this is what you and I can do the same. We too will have the favour in the sight of God and man, and have a good understanding if we do the same thing. If my son, don't forget my law, let your heart keep my commandments. Get to the heart and core of the commandments. Get to the principle. And again, Mr. Armstrong did this continually. He constantly went to the principle. He constantly was trying to understand what God really wanted, what God was actually driving at, what he was getting at. And that's why it's not just a as I said so often, a tick list, a list of points that you go down and you tick off. You've got to get to the heart, to the core of the principle, and apply that heart and core and principle, and then you'll go ahead and you'll be increased in wisdom and, well, stature. I don't know about stature. It was growing up, which Christ did. And in the favour with God and man, because you're going to that core. Back in Proverbs 3 now, in verse 5, it says, trust in the Eternal with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Again, very wise advice. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it should be a scripture that should roll off the tongue. But he says, trust in the Eternal with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Why? Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, search the hearts. Test the hearts. So do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Eternal and depart from evil. Again, what you're doing. You're fearing the Eternal, you're departing from evil. You're fearing the Eternal, the beginning of knowledge, beginning of understanding, and beginning of wisdom. This is where wisdom is coming from. And what is wise? Well, departing from evil is wise. That's what it's doing. That's what it's saying to us. And it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honour the Eternal with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. In other words, pay your tithes. Do what is your God says. Why? Because it's part of God's law. It's part of God's law in our hearts. And it says here, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. And part of it, I'll honour the Eternal with your substance, and with the first fruits of your increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. So it's part of the instruction, it's part of the commandments, it's part of what we should be doing. My son, and again, notice that phrase continually keeps on coming up. God is directing these words to us as his children. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Eternal, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Eternal loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. And again, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is therefore quoted here in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, have you forgotten in verse 5 the exhortation which speaks unto you as children? Notice, it's speaking to you as to children. My son, despise not the chastening. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son who he receives. So here Paul is reiterating the fact and pointing out the fact that he is being addressed as children, as God's children, by the book of Proverbs, because it's a direct quotation out of the book of Proverbs. And so when we read these first few chapters particularly, and he's saying, my son, do this, my son, do that, my son, be wise, he's talking to us as children, it's God talking. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is it who the father does not chasten? But if you are without chastisement, then you are, of which all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Again, it's chastisement, yes, but it's also the address, the way in which it's being addressed. My son, despise not the chastening of the Eternal, neither be weary of his correction. It's interesting, it says in back here in Hebrews 12, it says, "For that truly they for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." And we should try and work as parents, we should work towards, not trying to get rid of the kids out of our hair, but try and work towards giving correction to help the youngsters in their own lives. And that's the kind of instruction that we should be giving. So going back to Proverbs now, it says in verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, "Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding." So we need to be seeking wisdom. And so if you find wisdom, you'll be seeking it. And what will it make you? Well, it'll make you happy. It'll give you happiness. It'll cause, if you've got genuine wisdom, then you sought that wisdom and you found it. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. You know, I don't think there's very many of us that have ever toyed with the idea and daydreamed about the ideas of suddenly discovering buried treasure. Certainly as kids you tend to do that and discover buried treasure. It is saying, look, here is buried treasure. Here is treasure that is available to you if only you just look. If you look for it, if you seek for it. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof more than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And I believe, are rubies about the most valuable today? Not really. Emeralds today, is it? Okay, but anyway, at that time, I believe that rubies was the most valuable of all jewels. And all the things you shall desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days in her right hand, and the length in her left hand is riches and honour. If we have wisdom, if we conduct ourselves wisely, then we can, you know, if we make the right kind of business deals, if they're win-win positions. Like Mr. Armstrong said about the experience that he had, where somebody gained more sales of ad space in the newspaper, but he did it by high-pressure selling techniques. And he said, just wait for another year and see what happens by next year. Next year he'll overtake him. And he did. Why? Because he made customers. He made friends of those he dealt with. He made friends because he tried to have a win-win position. And therefore he built on his business. And if next year, third year along, he built on his business again. Whereas the bad feeling the other guy would have engendered would have actually compounded his misery, because they would then spread the word, don't deal with so-and-so because he's a rat. And that would have got him less business, progressively less business. And yet it says wisdom, length of days is in her right hand. You're wise in what you eat. You're wise in what you do. You don't get VD. You don't go ahead and you live a dissolutory life of going down nightclubs all the time and spending all your money on prostitutes. You know, length of days is there. It actually extends your life physically. In her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honour. Why? Because, again, you're making business. You're making win-win business deals. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Her paths are peace. Now, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Your money alone doesn't bring us happiness. It simply doesn't. And I can never get it right. Is it Getty that said that I'd give all my wealth for one happy marriage? I think it was Getty. But it's a tree of life to those that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retains her. The Eternal, by wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding has he established the heavens. And he is a positive God. He's an outgoing God. He's a wise God. And he must enjoy life. He must have incredible happiness out of the things that he's creating. And being able to give, and the happiness of being able to give. He knows the happiness of that. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. In other words, the depths yield up their vapor. It comes in. We've seen plenty of that over here. The depths of the Atlantic give up their vapor, and they come over our house, and they drop them down as heavy dew, very heavy dew. But the Eternal, by wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens, and by his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, and again, notice what he's doing. He's addressing him as the son. Do not let them depart from your eyes. What's he talking about? Well, right at the beginning. Forget not my law, but keep my heart. Let your heart keep my commandments. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and so shall there be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Remember I talked about my piano mistress and the grace of the neck. Then shall you walk in the way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, your sleep shall be sweet. And it's again, well, turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And in verse 31, it says, "And as you would that men should do to you, you do also to them likewise." You know, it says that when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. There'll be no knock on the door from the police. And there is a certain degree of, you know, the Oriental religions would call it karma. They almost worship the philosophy itself. The philosophy is not to be worshipped. The philosophy of karma doesn't, there's nothing sacred in that sense about karma, but it is a living law. As it says here, as you would that men should do to you, you do to them likewise. This is Luke 6, verse 32 now. For if you love those that love you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what do you thanks do you have there? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them that of whom you hope to receive, what thanks do you have there? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But you love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. You therefore be merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. This is karma. This is effectively karma. This is why they, for karma works, is because God says what he says here. Because if you do this, then give, and it shall be given to you. And it's a living law, a living spiritual law that God has made. It's not some Oriental religion that they happen to attach a name to. But it says, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, with all it shall be measured to you again. So, it says here, it says, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, neither shall the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Eternal shall be your confidence, shall keep your foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them for whom it's due, when it's in the power of your hand to do it. It was given, it shall be given to you. Say not to your neighbour, go come. Now there's in Nigeria, those of you listening to my words in Nigeria, you know that the phrase go come. And it is, go come is used there. They say, you know, go away, come back again another day. To hang on to the money, to make the use of somebody else's money. And I've seen people who have been owed money in the thousands of pounds, by their employers. And for years down in Nigeria, always being told, go come. The debts built up and built up. And it's been years and years later until they finally get the money given to them. And why was that? Well, in this particular case, it was because the leader of that, or the owner of that business, went into politics. And he therefore used all the money who was the working capital, including the people's wages, for his political campaign. Why did he do that? Because he can make that much more money in bribes and everything else out of his political campaign. But it says here, withhold not good for them that whom is due, when it's in the power of your hand to do it. You do not say, go come. So you in Nigeria, don't do that. And we should not do that either, over here in the West. You know, give and it will be given to you, pressed down and running over. Do not say to your neighbour, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give, when you have it there by you. Now obviously if you don't have it, then you have to explain. But if you have it there by you, you do not say, go come. Do not devise evil against your neighbour, seeing that he dwells securely by you. It says, strive not with a man without a cause if he has done you no harm. Now, notice, turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Remember what this section is again. From verse 21, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And here are certain proverbs being given, one after the other, about this sound wisdom and discretion. And here in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if it's possible, as much as, it says, lies in you, much as depends on you, as much as lies in our part, depends on our part, live peaceably with all men. And dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It says here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 30, strive not with a man, as much as lies within you, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all, without a cause, if he has done you no harm. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the presumptuous, the perverse, is an abomination to the eternal, but his secret is with the righteous. He actually works, backs up the righteous. The curse of the eternal is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Now these are promises. These are promises. Might not be immediate, but it's wise. If we look at these words and we apply these words, we are being wise. We're actually applying the wisdom of having the fear of the eternal, which is the beginning of knowledge, and using it down through understanding into being wise, making wise decisions, wise judgments when we come to forks in the road. Surely he scorns the scorners, but he gives grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So he's contrasting these over and over again. The wicked and he that scorns, and the fools are going to have problems in their life. But the just, the grace, the lowly and the wise are going to have a much easier time in the longer term. In the longer term, not initially in the immediate future, but in the longer term it will be. Hear you children, and again addressing us as children. Hear you children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. Again, David, for I was my father's son, attended and only beloved in the sight of my mother, and he taught me also, and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget it, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And where's the wisdom coming from? Well, it's coming from God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Eternal, by that shall a man live. So get wisdom from God's word. Get understanding from God's word. Forget it not, whereas keep reading it. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Now, in the King James, with all your getting, get understanding. What on earth does that mean? With all your getting, with all you have, with all that you have, with all that you've got, spend every penny you have, if necessary, to get hold of understanding. That's what it's saying. With all your substance, with all your everything that you own, everything that you've got, that count as yours, you get understanding. You know why? Because wisdom is this principal thing. You spend every penny you've got to get it. That's how valuable it must be to us. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. Again, said before, it's a case of seeking it out, seeking wisdom, seeking knowledge, seeking understanding. And you seek it out, and you put emphasis on that above everything else. Why? Because it starts the fear from the fear of God, and it then flows out into our entire life and out into eternity. That's what you're going to be doing. It's out into eternity that it flows. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace, a crown of gold, glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life be made many. So again, talking to us as children. I've taught you in the ways of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you go, your steps shall not be straightened. When you run, you shall not stumble. In other words, you're not going to find... Life will go easier if we are wise. If we have our head in gear, life will go easier. We're not going to drive like maniacs. We'll think before we get in the car, if we've had too much to drink. And yet you go in through life and you don't think, you're not wise, you end up going through the windscreen. There's been a coach crash up in the Midlands this time ago. And this bus that normally had about 5 or 6 or 7 people on it, suddenly had about 35 people on there. And it was one of these cash for crashes procedures. And this coach ran into the back of this car, and all these people suddenly started rolling on the floor and groaning in agony. And one person ran down the down the coach and headbutted the windscreen. And it was all manufactured. And obviously, the genuine passengers looked at this and thought, what on earth is going on? And they therefore gave their account of things in the inquest that actually occurred, and a number of people are now in jail. But it says, when you go, your steps shall not be straightened. You're not going to go ahead and find a difficult path. And when you run, you will not stumble. Because there was, you know that you don't go ahead and get part of that kind of a scam. It's not going to be the way. It's not the way to go. You know, the fact that they imagined that they could get away with it is just beyond recognition. But obviously, there's somebody there that was jailed for several years, and he had a business. This was his business. It was cash for crashes. Doing the insurance company out of the money. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. The wages of sin is death. So the opposite is life. The wisdom of God is life. So take hold of the instruction and hang on to it. Do not enter into the path of the wicked, and do not go into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. Get away from it. As it says, flee fornication, but it's anything that's evil. You know, get away from it. For they sleep not except that they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. And did we read that? I think we read that over in John 2. No, well, let's just read it again in John 2. John 3 it is. It says, For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So what's he doing? He's walking away from the light. He's trying to get away from it. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they're wrought in God. So what's he doing? He's going towards the light. He's walking towards it. And here back in chapter 4 of Proverbs, in verse 17. It says, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shines, notice, more and more into the perfect day. Why? Because they're going towards it. And as they go towards it, it becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. You become more and more clear what the wise way and wise path is. So that if you're seeking, getting wisdom, getting understanding, don't forsake it. Don't decline from the words of my mouth, trying to constantly get it. And again, it comes to this passage in John. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't grasp it. Why? Because they're walking away from it, that's why. But those that are walking towards it, that are wanting to be reproved, that are wanting that reproof and having that light shining on their lifestyle so that they can walk in that same way, they're walking towards it. They're walking, they're gaining the benefit of it. And back in chapter 4, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't know what they're stumbling at. They can't see. Why? Because they're walking away from the light. That's why. You know, it's like you know, there's a light on something and you run away from it. And you wonder why you fall over something and land flat in your face. I mean, because you're walking away from light. That's what it's saying. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, I'm come that they might have life. And it says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I'm coming that they may have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. For they are life unto those that find them. What are? It says, attend to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. And that's the entire book of Proverbs. He's continually saying, look, listen to what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. Seek her out, work at it, do what is necessary. You know, take the time to sit down with this book and actually learn the understanding, learn the knowledge that is necessary. For they that are the life unto you, those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward, a twisted mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. What are you doing? You're looking in front, you're seeing where you're going, and you're thinking. That's what you're doing. And you're applying these words to your thought patterns. That's what it's talking about. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Think about it. They say we go through life so many times, we go through life and we don't think. We just allow circumstances to happen to us. And that's not what the book of Proverbs says. The book of Proverbs says, think about it. Think about the path of your life. As you be aware of where you're going. Being aware of what judgments you're making. And the end result and where that end result will take us. He says, do not turn to the right nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You know something? I don't think I'm going to finish this. Why are we not surprised? I was thinking I might do 2 points today. I'm not even going to finish one, but never mind. Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, enter in at the straight gate, the difficult gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Because straight or difficult is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. So you're making an active choice, but you know it's going to get to a certain destination. It's going to get to the destination of life, of a real abundant life. As you know, Mr. Armstrong said, this is the life, real abundant living, and that's the kind of life that we need. It's life really now as we go through this existence, this physical, chemical existence. But the ultimate goal is a life in the future, which will go on for eternity. So don't turn from the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And let your eyes look ahead, right on. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Think about what your choices being made. And again, chapter 5. My son, attend to my wisdom. and bow your ear to my understanding. In other words, listen to what I've got to say. Don't just dismiss it. Don't just brush it off. But listen. That you may regard discretion, and that with your lips you may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And this is what happens, both physically and spiritually as well. It's appealing. I mean, the law is done away. Wow, wonderful. Yes, really? Oh, I can go out and play golf on a Saturday. Or you can go and eat crab and lobster or whatever else it might be. But, you know, why did God say, don't eat crab and lobster? Why has God given us the Sabbath and said, remember it? The lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And you look at what's happened to the church now, and we've got this fragmented church with minimal effect on the earth as a whole, with people having all kinds of different ideas. I had somebody write to me this morning and sent me articles that they reckon I should take notice of. Load of nonsense. Different calendar issues and various other things were there. Berend is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. You look at what happened. What was given to those that came after Mr. Armstrong was a viable jewel of an organisation. A jewel of an organisation with the income to do the work, with the people loyally behind them, going in a certain direction. And it was totally destroyed because of a lack of wisdom. A lack of wisdom and going, the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. And then listen to that those lips. And her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is as bitter as wormwood, as sharp as a two-edged sword, and that's what we've got today. That's exactly what we've got today. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on Sheol, on the grave. Lest you should ponder her path of life, her ways are movable that you cannot know them. Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and come not near the door of her house. Turn over to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. Not only is Revelation falling to pieces, Genesis is starting to fall to pieces as well. I keep putting off getting a new Bible up here, never mind. Genesis 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me, and sleep with me. But he refused, and he said to his master's wife, look, my master doesn't know what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he has in my hand. There's nothing greater in his house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass that Joseph, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her, or even to be with her. He wouldn't even be with her. It came to pass at this time that Joseph went to the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in his hand, and he fled, and he got him out. In other words, the way to approach this is to flee, and it says flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication, and that's what Joseph did. He got out. Now, he suffered for it, but in the longer term, the fear of God, did it really work out? It certainly did. He had the dream fulfilled of his brothers and even his father in that sense, come and bow before him. But he says, remove your way far from her. Do not come near the door of her house, lest you give your honour to others and your years to the cruel, lest strangers be filled with your wealth and your labours of your house of a stranger. And you mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Looking at it physically, you end up with an STD. You end up with AIDS. You mourn at your last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Why do that? Why go down that route? And said, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? And all of us, every single one of us, needs to understand this, physically and spiritually, in both respects apply. And I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. But drink waters out of your own cistern, running waters out of your own well. Let your fountain be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the street. Let them be your own, and not a stranger with you. And what's he talking about? He's talking about having marital relations with your own wife. As he goes on to say, he says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as a loving hind, a pleasant roe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and be ravished always with her love. That's what it's all about. That's what it's intended for. For why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And you know, we see in Britain today, there's an article here from the paper, Decline of Marriage. It says the number of married couples with children. Now, these are married couples with children, and the chances are the majority of them are not the first marriages. And they're probably not their own children, the children of one of them, but the actual families that have children. That's a married man and a woman who are married, and there are children there. That's all it is. It doesn't mean to say it's their children. But the number of married couples with children has reached a record low, official figures show. There are around 4 million such families, census data for the whole of the UK shows. That's 15.2% of families, or 300,000 fewer than a decade ago. You know, the family is under attack. People are living in misery. Children are being brought up without both parents. And why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Eternal, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatest of his folly shall he go astray. Let's just turn final scripture over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Because he's talking here about how his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. And he shall be held with the cords for his sins. It'll bind him for his sins. And it's restricting him. And he says, he spoke these words, many believed on him, verse 30. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In other words, listen to my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow your ear to my understanding. Hear, my son, receive my sayings. Hear, my children, the instruction of the Father, and attend to the knowledge, to know understanding. That's what he's saying. And here it's saying, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, my students indeed. And in verse 32 of John 8, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It'll free you. And what does it say here in chapter 5 of Proverbs? It says, your own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. And here in John 8, in verse 33, it says, they answered him, we are Abraham's seed, we are never in bondage to any man. How do you say that you have been made free? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, is bound by them, by the sins. And the slave abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, the Word of God makes you free, then you're going to be free indeed. You listen to the words. And so we see here, and we'll finish here in the end of chapter 5, that his own iniquities have taken the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and the greatest of his folly shall go astray. But you find over and over again, my son, attend to my wisdom. Bow your ear to my understanding. My son, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of my life shall be many. My son, attend to my words, incline your ears to my saying. Hear, O you children, that's verse 1 of chapter 4, the instruction of the Father, and attend to the know the understanding, for I give you good teaching. Continually that is being said to us over and over again within this section. And it sets the tone for the entire book. Because once you get beyond chapter 7, 8, 9, something like that, you then start to go into the Proverbs themselves, which gives you wisdom, which gives wisdom of all the great spread of knowledge and understanding that is there. And that we'll hopefully move into next time.